follow evolution theory, they would pretty much adhere to what I just described to you, and then they carry it a step further. They've got some creatures evolving into others and becoming marmosets, or the precursor to the monkeys. Then from these basic monkeys, they come up with these apes, such as gibbons, orangutans, gorillas, chimpanzees, and from them, they're telling us that these are the precursor to the human being. Well and good. Only one clear problem. And a child asked me this one. A small child said, well, if there's evolution, like you said, and if everything turned into these other things, and if humans came out of monkeys, then why do we still have monkeys today? Good question. If you still have monkeys, apes, gorillas, chimpanzees, if you still have these apes, then how do you explain that? You don't need a missing link between us and monkeys. You need something even bigger than that. You need a missing link between all monkeys and humans, and go back and find it. And there isn't such a thing, and they know that. In fact, there's no scientific evidence to connect the gorillas and apes with the human beings. It's a totally separate and different creation of Allah. Oh yeah. We had Dr. Fatima Jackson on our program in Washington, D.C. for several episodes, and she explained to us, and that's her background, by the way, and she's explaining archaeology, and she explains biology as well as these other sciences. That's her job as a professor at the University of Maryland. She tells us there has never been any connection found for anything to say humans came from these other types of creation of Allah. In fact, she says that these are different creations that existed at the same time. They all existed at the same time, but when there was more of one than another, they called it by the one that was dominant at the time. So if you hear about Cro-Magnon man, for instance, and you hear about the Australopithecine, for instance, it didn't mean that's all it was there, that they progressed one into the other. It just meant that that's what they found the most of for that particular time period. Now reflect on that. Think about what I just said, because I want to take a break, and then I want to come back into this again and tell you more about the difference between evolution and creation. We've been talking about a subject that's pretty sensitive to some folks, the subject of evolution in religion compared to creation. Almost every religion out there claims that God is the creator, or their gods create different things. But when you come to this subject of evolution, that's when the hair begins to stand out on end and people start to get really excited. Evolution, how does that fit? Well, in our earlier part of this episode, we've already discussed that a lot of what's being said by scientists is not really fact. In fact, there's no real connection between some of the things that they say and what the evidence is. One of the top anthropologists and professors of anthropology in Maryland, we've spoke about her, Dr. Fatima Jackson, explained to us in detail in several episodes that we had on our television show in Washington. And she said that actually these different time periods that they speak about, Precambrian, for instance, and the Australopithecine time, the Cro-Magnon time, and so on, all of these different time periods didn't have just one specific creature that they claim to be the precursor to man. In fact, they all existed at the same time. But what they would find is there's more of one than another. And that when Cro-Magnon man was, there were more of those than there were, let's say, the Australopithecine, then they called it that period. But in fact, they did exist at the same time. She says there's a time when all of them were gone. There were no more. And then human beings came on the scene. Separate, different, and not connected. This is exactly what we find in the Quran. Allah talks to the human beings in the Quran, telling us that He created others before us and that He totally destroyed them. We know that from the Quran, that there have been others before us and that He destroyed them all. What were they like? He doesn't go into detail. What did they do? Again, we didn't find details, but the fact is that Allah has told us that He created us as human beings today in a different way, in a perfect way, and He says about it, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, that He, in fact, is the creator of the human beings, and He created us in the best shape, the best way. The humans, as we know today, are the humans from now to the end of time. This also rules out, by the way, the little green men from Mars. It rules out space visitors and weird concoctions that people have come up with from other planets. Because the only two that Allah speaks about in the Quran are the jinn and human beings. The jinn, we do not see them. They're another creation created before Adam. They're made from a smokeless fire. They've been around a long time, longer than we have. They live longer than we do. They're different than we are in many aspects. But where they're the same is that they have free choice and they can choose to believe or disbelieve. From them are Muslims. Some are Christians, others Jewish. Some are different pagan religions, or they don't believe in God at all. The important thing to know, though, is they have a choice, just like we do. They can choose to believe. They can choose to disbelieve. It's always up to them. Now, I want to come back to the subject of evolution. There is evolution mentioned in the Quran, and it's one of the names of Allah. One of Allah's characteristics described in the Quran is the evolver. He is al-Bari. And al-Bari means the one who takes something from one shape and then brings it into another shape, evolving it. That's one of the 99 names of Allah. So this solves it. You want to know about evolution? We know all about it. It's been in the Quran for 1400 years. We didn't need Darwin to come along with his monkey theory. There was Islam. Islam has been there 1400 years plus, telling us that Allah did in fact evolve many things. He brought this out of that, and that out of this. He describes it in the Quran. Read it. But He never said that He brought the human being out of a monkey. In fact, we know, as Muslims, the same thing the scientists are today discovering, that He created each thing in its perfected state. He didn't create an egg and then let it hatch open. That was not the normal way that He did business. The way Allah did it was to create everything by pairs. He created a rooster and a chicken. He created the lion and the lioness. He created a man and a woman. He created everything in pairs. We know that because He said that. Now the scientists have said to us, and these are the ones who are talking about ID, intelligent design, we mentioned in the first part of this episode. The scientists have found things now that have existed that just all of a sudden came on the scene, and they can't explain where they came from. They didn't evolve, they just showed up. No clue? I'll give you a clue. Look in the Quran. Read the final and the last revelation to mankind for yourself and discover. Discover who is the real Khalik, Al-Khalik, the Creator, Allah, and find out who is Al-Bari, the evolver, the one who evolves. It's Allah. Now, let's talk about the relationship between creator and created. Now here we're talking about the things that Allah created, and we're talking about Allah the Creator. Some have the notion that Allah is the creation, that everything that exists is Allah, and Allah is everything that exists. Well, this is not Islam. This is called pantheism. To put God in the creation as a part and parcel of it is pantheism, not monotheism. Monotheism is to believe in one God.